Now, the Marquette University Law School released its latest poll last week, which measured the political opinions of over 900 registered voters in Wisconsin. This was the 75th poll conducted by the law school, which started the survey back in 2012. But now the polling team is updating the way they conduct the poll to get a more reliable sample of the population, a better response rate, and hopefully more accurate results. We often talk to the director of the survey about the results of the surveys and what they tell us about state and national politics. Today we're going to talk about survey methodology itself and how his and other polls gather this important data and what's leading many pollsters to change their polling ways. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how polling works, how it's changed over the years? How do you think political polling could be improved? Have you ever been surveyed for your political opinions? What was that experience like? Or did you just let it ring? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Charles Franklin is a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. He's co-founder of pollster.com and founder of pollsandvotes.com. Charles, welcome back to Central Time. Now, I'm glad you picked up when we got in touch with you, Charles, but I think part of the problem that people may be wondering about when it comes to polling is people don't answer their phones as much anymore. How has that affected your polling and polling around the country?
It's been a big effect in terms of the costs of doing polls. Back in 2012, when we started the Marquette poll, we could expect about a 7% total response rate. Now, that sounds low, and it is low compared to 30 years ago when we could get a 70% response rate. But as you said, people don't answer their phone the way they used to. What that means is we simply have to dial many more numbers in order to reach our 900 respondents or so. Response rates now range from 1% to 2%, with many of them closer to 1 than to 2. And that was a problem we ran into last fall in the heat of the campaign. Our response rates dropped off, not tremendously, but some. But it meant the sheer number of hours we had to have interviewers attempting phone calls. And to put it in perspective, less than 1% of calls are answered when we first call. We will call back if a number's unanswered, but even so, we still end up with a 1.5% or so response rate. This is true throughout the industry, and it's been a big change. We're addressing that by developing these new methods, which others in the industry are also using.
Before we dig into new methods, one concern people might have, I assume pollsters might have, is, you know, if with that small response rate, if one group, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, old or young, committed political observers versus not, if one of those groups is more prone to answer the phone and the other group is less prone, could that skew results? How have you and other pollsters prior to taking on these new methods tried to make sure that didn't happen?
Yeah, that's an issue that goes way back in time, not really a function of this new lower response rate. So, for example, people with higher education are more likely to answer the phone. Older people are more likely to answer. Try getting somebody under 30 on the phone, even if you're related to them. It's not the easiest thing to do. So those things have gotten a bit worse in recent years, but they've always been an element of telephone surveys. The way we address it is to use census data that tells us the number of people under 30, over 65, the number of people with a bachelor's degree or less than a bachelor's degree. We know that for the population of Wisconsin. And so if we have too few younger people, we can weight those people up so that the weighted sample is the proper percentage of under 30s. And for the older people that are so anxious to do the interview, we weight them down a bit. So they're the right percentage of 65 and over. That works pretty well, and it can be tested and sort of demonstrated that it works pretty well. But it is a concern, especially when some groups become much less willing to respond That became more of an issue with people under 30 in the fall. We still got such people, but we didn't get as many as we were getting even a year or two ago.
Talking to Charles Franklin with Marquette University Law School poll, talking about changes in polling, how pollsters, he and others, are updating things, trying to make sure they reach who they want to reach. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about how polling works, what's changing, what isn't working. Join in at 800-642-1234. Okay, Charles, I want to lift up the hood and do a little before and after. Can you give us the broad strokes, what happened before these changes? What was the step-by-step on your poll? How you found your voters? What kind of voters you were looking for? And so on.
Sure. So the key thing is this is a random sample of registered voters in the state. You can't volunteer to do the poll. You can't sign up for it and do it five times. You have to be randomly selected. And that's the same in the old method and the new. In the old, we started with all the phone numbers in the state, both landline and cell phone, and we randomly picked the numbers to call, and that's how we generated our sample. And then we asked people if they were registered to vote or not. What we're doing now is starting with a list of all registered voters in the state. You buy that list from a company that takes the state's public registered voter and then provides it to survey groups. But we also use a separate sample based on postal delivery addresses around the state with, again, a random sample of addresses that mail is delivered to. Those folks get a U.S. Postal Service letter inviting them to take part in surveys. So what we're doing now is blending these two. About 3/4 of the respondents come from the registered voter list, and about 1/4 come from this address-based list. Put those two together, and that's our sample. But in both cases, these are registered voters, and they were sampled randomly.
Is doing a survey on the phone the only option under this new look, or are people doing this online in some cases?
Well, thankfully, it's not the only option anymore. That's one of the advantages of this shift. For the registered voter list and the address-based sample, we have email addresses for the substantial majority of people on those lists. So those folks now get an email inviting them to take part in the survey, explaining that it's Marquette doing the survey and how to participate. And it includes a unique link that can only be used once and only by the person that received the email. For the people that we don't have email for, we phone them. And so as a result, this time we did just a little over 2/3 of respondents who responded by email or online, I should say. They got the email and then they responded online for that roughly a little under 1/3 that weren't reachable by email. We phoned them. Also, if you get an invitation to participate, we will phone you if we don't hear from you fairly soon.
All right. So what was the response rate like in this first spin of the new method?
Well, the grand total is about 1.5%. But the people that do the poll from the address-based sample respond at a higher rate. The phone calls to the registered voter list, as I say, is right there in the a little better than we were doing last fall, but it's still in the 1.5% range. The total combining those two is a little bit better than what we were getting last year. But the main thing is people really like being able to do the interview online. They can do it on a smartphone, or they can do it on a tablet or a laptop, or God forbid, a desktop computer. But mostly, I think they like us not calling during dinner time.
I like my desktop computer. We're talking to Marquette Law School poll director Charles Franklin about polling methodology, updates the ways he conducts his political opinion surveys. This is happening in polls around the country as well. And coming up, we'll talk a little bit about what we do with these polls, whether it's for a a race for political office or measuring support or opposition for an issue over time, you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of political polling? Do you follow a poll, lots of polling at election time or on key issues facing the nation? What questions do you have about how it works, what we can and can't do with it? Call in at 800-642-1234. We will answer the phone when you call. 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy and director of the Marquette University Law School poll. He's with us today for a look at updates, the way he conducts his survey, and changes in political polling across the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about political polling? If you've participated in a survey, we'd love to hear about your experience. Join in with your questions, your experiences, your thoughts on the value of polling. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Heard from Cynthia, who couldn't stay on the line. Cynthia says she's one of those people that never answers the phone, suggests that hey, you ought to let people know what number to expect ahead of time so they know to answer. Too many spam calls, especially when you're retired. Charles, is that part of the new system here where people maybe know that number is coming?
No. And the number is just a number. It doesn't come up on caller ID as coming from Marquette. Our phone facility is contracted out and is out of state, actually, in Pennsylvania. With the email, though, we do get around that, because now you get an email. It explains what's going on at some length, and as I said, says that this is the Marquette poll. So people do have a better ability to understand that rather than the unknown phone call. But as we all know, phone calls are really a problem these days, and lots of people are like Cynthia who don't answer. I wish I knew of a way around it. The way around it is to send an email to a registered voter list. Some companies are sending a letter in advance. Others are using text-to-web interviews where you get a text message and a link. We're not doing those last two yet, but they may someday be in our future as well.
Thanks for that call, Cynthia, at 800-642-1234. Charles, there's been, some skepticism, about polling starting in 2016 in particular, a sense that Trump voters were undercounted pretty consistently in polls at the state and national level. Are some of these changes, or other changes in polling around the country, reacting to that?
Yes, they are. And that biggest worry in polling is that certain types of voters choose not to respond. If it's highly educated or less educated, we know how to deal with those. The trouble is, what if a certain type of voter, somebody who supports Donald Trump and has particular characteristics, if they won't respond to us, it's very hard to know how to address that question. So one of the things we're doing is looking at the partisan balance in the survey much more closely, and looking at that partisan balance within regions of the state. So that's one step to address it. We've also been looking at the response rate in each county in the state, and whether that's related to the Trump vote in that county in the past, in 2020. Throughout 2022, I'm happy to say that we saw no correlation. Our response rates were about the same in the most pro-Trump counties as they were in the middle counties and as they were in the most anti-Trump counties. So at least by that measure, we're not seeing big biases. Having said all of that, it is a constant worry, and it's one that we'll be working on from now right through the 2024 election. The one advantage of using the registered voter list as opposed to calling phone numbers at random is we do know not how you ever voted in the past, but we do know how often people voted in the past. And so that should also help us with our likely voter model to be able to look at regular voters, occasional voters, and people who are registered but did not participate in 2020, for example, or 2022.
Let's go back to our callers. Jim is with us in Westport. Jim, hi.
Hi. My brother had done polling for years, so I always answer the phone and always try to participate. But one thing I notice is sometimes there may be half a dozen questions. Other times it seems like they go on and on and on and on and on. And the longer the questions are, or the more questions, I feel like I kind of lose interest and might not be a good person. Is there kind of a sweet spot if you ask half a dozen questions versus 12 where you feel you get better data?
Jim, thanks for the call. Charles, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a mixed bag. Some campaign polls will just ask 3, 4, 5 questions and that's it. They just want to get a quick hit and get off. For us, though, it's so expensive to get people on the phone in the first place, right? Those more than 100 calls that don't get answered. And so once we have you on the line, we want to get a variety of opinions. So we ask around 25 to 30 substantive questions, and then we ask a handful of demographic questions like age and education that we need. The result is our total length on a telephone call will be around 15 minutes. A few people go longer than that, but we try really hard not to go past 15. Interestingly, the people that fill out the survey online completed it in something closer to 10 minutes. That may be faster reading speed. It may be the convenience of answering online. It could also just be that the online method flows more quickly. You don't get into a conversation with the interviewer, so you focus on answering the questions and finishing.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. Talking to Charles Franklin with Marquette University Law School survey, looking at changes in polling in recent years, big changes in the newest poll from Marquette. Charles, I want to talk about the value of different types of polling. First of all, one thing you've done over the years is track Wisconsinites' opinions on a variety of issues. When we ask the same question again and again over the years, what kind of patterns, what kind of changes have stood out to you over the years?
Yeah, there are a few things that have changed quite a bit, but many things have either not changed at all, or they've changed in a very steady pattern over time. So, for example, back in 2012, when we started, support for concealed carry in Wisconsin was a little more unpopular than popular. But support for that has climbed up to in the mid-60s, who now support concealed carry. Support for same-sex marriage rose steadily over time. On the other hand, views of abortion have been quite flat over time. And one in this latest survey, concern about water quality, water safety in your community, and concern specifically about PFAS, the long-lasting chemical that we've seen in a number of communities around the state, concern for those things have gone up each year over the last several years. So you see that people are more concerned about that issue that affects, obviously, the quality of your life and the quality of your drinking water.
With changes in methodology, can we say, okay, surveys after the change, we can compare them reasonably with surveys before the change?
Yeah, we're doing everything we can to make sure that's true. The most difficult part of it is on the telephone, somebody can simply say, well, I just don't know about that, or I haven't thought about that. And an interviewer will then record that person as having said, don't know. But when you're doing the survey online, the options that are presented on the screen are all you can choose from, or you can skip the question entirely. But not nearly as many people skip the question as volunteer that they don't know on the telephone. So one of the things we're looking at is how to calibrate those don't know responses over time. The good news is that's usually not a real big factor, but the bad news is it can matter in certain circumstances. And so we're working on that. I ran every question that we've ever asked before that we asked in June. And I'm happy to say that most of them showed really modest movement. And where we saw big movements, the big movements seem to make sense substantively when you think about the current political environment. Having said all of that, we will be watching for when something looks like it's not consistent with past responses, and we'll either flag that in the poll release or otherwise make some adjustment for it.
And finally, Charles, when people think of polling, they might often think of the election race type polling, candidate A versus candidate B, say. You do that, of course, in your polls. We often, when you're on, get questions of, well, why? Why bother surveying people? The real survey is the election itself. What is the value of doing that kind of polling over time?
Yeah, well, the most important thing is that last I heard, the election won't be held until November of 2024. So do we want to sit around and not know anything about how people are making up their minds about the candidates until election day? I, of course, argue no. We want these snapshots in time of June and October and January and so on. You put enough snapshots together and you get a movie. You get to see how the election developed over time, who rose and who fell. And then at the very end, we get our report card. We get to see how well we did. Was our final poll close to the actual election result? And the good news is, on average, we have been within 2.2 points of the actual result. The bad news is, in 2016, we were off by 6 points. And that was disappointing, to say the least. So don't take any polling for granted, but on the same token, try to use it for that motion picture of where we are today, but over the long haul, how are we developing between now and election day?
Charles, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thanks so much. Always good to be with you.
That's Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director there of the Marquette University Law School poll. He's with us today to talk about changes in polling here in Wisconsin and around the country.